smichas devorim. He hasn't got to rely on anything. His decision is not based on a smichas devorim. Shafilu.
Shafilu min hasafik she'ein, because even from a doubt she'ein ha'alacha b'rulo, that the Allah is not clear to him. Uba the oser, he comes and makes it forbidden.
He doesn't got nothing to lose. Avolamatir,
but the one who makes it permitted, stamich al shamasai, ayal svaras hafmasai. So that he relies on what he has heard,
or on his learning, or from he works it out according to his knowledge and his what he knows and the way he works it out. That is overall.
Her son went out to war. And she made a neder for 7 years, if he comes back safe, to be a Nazir. The Chutz La'aretz. This happened in the Chutz La'aretz. The also La'aretz, and then towards the end of the 7 years, she went up to Eretz Yisrael. Haruha Beit Hillel Shetei Vizira Od Zayin Shanin Acherot. So Beit Hillel made it so that she should be a Nazir another 7 years. Then they bring another case that the same thing that they were poskening on Aser. Chut HaShedra Shenisag Beruvo Trefa. This is the spinal cord.
That's all. Till then. Now let us begin our subject. The first thing we've got to... What's that, David? The first thing we've got to understand is from where do we get it? That anything that it has to do with food is permitted on Yom Tov. That we've got to get. Before I go on to that question, I just have to tell you something else.
I've only just that I say there is no
probably good.
It says in the Torah, it says in Shemesh, but before we do this, I want to just point out something to you, how everything in the Torah is so, and this is what it is. I'll just read to you this verse, and then we pay. So what we are doing now is the source of the first thing, that if it's lezorech ochel nefesh, if it's for food purposes, it's permitted to do that melocha, to do that type of work on Yom Tov, right? For example, with bishul, cooking on Shabbos is forbidden. Not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Nevertheless, for Yom Tov, we are allowed to cook. This is something that it's good for you to it's speaking about Pesach, and this is in Shemos, in Parshas Bo. Speaking about Pesach. Uvayom orishon mikro kodesh. On the first day, you shall declare it kodesh. First day shall be kodesh, shall be holy. Uvayom ashvi mikro kodesh yerochem. And the seventh day shall be a holy day. So the days between the first day and the seventh day, that's Chol HaMoed. But we are not dealing with Chol HaMoed. We are dealing with the first day and the seventh day of Pesach, which in Chutz La'aretz is the first and second day, and the seventh and eighth day of Pesach. Now, look what it says. But I want you to pay attention to the expression. Kol melocho lo ye'oseh bo'em. Kol melocho. What does that mean? All work shall not be done on them. Which really means no work shall be done on them. Not any kind of work shall be done on them. Kol melocho lo ye'oseh bo'em. Now, in Vayikra, in Emor, By the Be'er Hashem Moshe Lemel, Hashem is speaking to the Bnei Yisrael. Eile Moadei Hashem Mikro Kodesh. These are the Moadei Hashem. Ba'chodesh Orishon Be'abo Osa Lachodesh Be'er is Pesach. Or Hamish Osa Yom Lachodesh Chagamatzes. Ba'yom Orishon Mikro Kodesh Yeloachem. Kol Meleches Avodo Losa Asu. Can you see the difference? Kol Meleches Avodo Losa Asu. In the first case, it's Kol Melocho Lo Ye Osa Bohem, any type of work. Here it says Kol Meleches Avodo Losa Asu. Now, I want to ask you which is more embracing. Kol Melocho Lo Ye Osa Bohem? Or Kol Maleches Avodo Lo Sasu, which is more embracing? Right.
Could you try?
Kol Malocha means any manner of work shall not be done on them. The next one is you shall not do any Maleches Avodo. Work of Avodo you shall not do. Whatever that may mean for the time being. So which is more embracing? So Philip says the first is more embracing. He's quite right. It doesn't modify it in any way. It's a kol melocha lo yos, any man of work shall not be done. Here it says maleches avodo, work that is avodo shall not be done. In the first term it says kol melocha lo yos away. Look what it goes on and says. In the first one it then says kol melocha lo yos bohem. And now begins this part that concerns.
I think yes, she took a therapy.
Thanks. Kol melocho lo yeoseh bohem. No work shall be done on them. Ach. Whenever it says ach, means accepting. Ach is always accepting. Accepting. Asher yei ochel lechol nefesh. That which may be eaten by all nefesh, by all living. By all living. Hu levadel yei oseh lochem. That on its own may be made. You may do that. For you. Now these words, accepting that which may be eaten by what, that alone you may do. So we see that work that has to do with food, with eating, that may be done. So we've got it on this. Therefore, here the person can afford to use the expression, kol melocho lo yeoseh, any manner of work shall not be done to them, because immediately afterwards it's going to give the exception, accepting this. So we know. Afterwards, when the Torah speaks about not working on Yontif, it uses the word, kol meleches avodo lo yeoseh bohem. It doesn't say kol melocha, only meleches avodo. What is meleches avodo? It's work that I don't use for my immediate benefit. The Ramban has got an interesting expression. He says, Maleches Avodo, says the Ramban, is any work that hasn't got to do with food. Is Maleches. He said, Maleches Ochel Nefesh, he says, I've got Hanua from it. I'm going to enjoy something from it. But that is the first thing that we see. So we've got this clear, that Och Kol Malocho Lo Yeoseh Bohem, no manner of work shall be done on them. Ach Hashem Yeochel Ochel Nefesh, Uleba Lo Yeoseh. That work which is in connection with food, that may be done. That is, that you got from the Torah itself. So now we know, cooking, we can cook on Shabbos.
allowed to cook on Shabbos.
We are allowed. We are allowed to cook on Yom Tov. We are allowed to shech on Yom Tov. All these things we are allowed to do on Yom Tov. We are allowed to fry on Yom Tov. Can do that on Yom Tov. Because of this verse. Now comes this principle. B'toch she'er hutro letzora, hutro nami shelo letzora. But before we're going to do that principle, I want to read to you a Mishnah in Beitzah. The important thing here, let me get you onto this also. So we are dealing with a principle in the Gemara. Do you need this? Would you want to have this verse in front of you, or doesn't it matter? Doesn't matter. We come now on to the next verse, and next principle, and that is Mitoch. Mitoch she hutro. The Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, Hutro Nami Shelo, the Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. This is what, since it is permitted, the Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, it's permitted also shalom the
Tzorech Ochel.
That's a jump. Where do you get that from? So since you are allowed to shech an animal on Yom Tov, therefore you are also allowed to do the first be on Yom Tov. The first is the money to the food. The principle of mitel shehutra the Tzorech Ochel namen shalom the Tzorech. From where does it come? Let me read to you a Mishnah in Beitzah. The Mishnah says as follows. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai say, Ein motzi'in lo es ha-kotten, velo es ha-lulov, velo es seif ha-teura li v'shusho rabim. On Yontov, and this is speaking only about Yontov. The Masich, the Beitzah means an egg. And this, because it speaks about an egg that was laid on Yontov. Another name for this Masich Tevetzah is called Yom Tov, because it deals with the subject of Yom Tov. It says, Beit Shammai says, on Yom Tov, you've got to understand that, so Yom Tov doesn't say Yom Tov, you understand, you are not allowed to carry a cotton, a child, you're not allowed to carry him in a public thoroughfare, and you're not allowed to carry the lulav, and you're not allowed to carry a sefer Torah into the Rishus HaRavim, into a public therapy on Yom Tov. Says Beis Shammai. Uveis Hillel Makirin. And Beis Hillel permit. Beis Hillel permit. So now we've got a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you are not allowed to carry a child in the Rishus HaRavim. Take a better case. Into the Rishus HaRavim. Rishus HaRavim, the public therapy. Take a better case. You're not, the third case, you're not allowed to carry a lulav. Obviously, he's speaking about sukkahs. And I'm going to shul and I've got my lulav at home. Or I am a shul and I've got the lulav at shul and I want to take the lulav home in order that somebody at home can bench lulav. But Shammai says, I'm not allowed to carry the lulav home. Does Beis Shammai agree with this principle of Mitoch Hutro Letzorech Ochel Nefesh Hutro Nami Shelo Letzorech Ochel Nefesh or not?
No.
He must, I'm sorry, does he agree with the principle of Tzorech Ochel Nefesh? Am I allowed to shech an animal on Shabbat? On Yom Tov? Yes. Am I allowed to cook on Yom Tov?
Yes.
Of course, because that's in the Torah. So what does Beis Shammai do? Beis Shammai does not accept the principle of Mitoch. since it is permitted to do this on Yom Tov or Tzerech El Chanetesh, it's permitted even if it's not the Tzerech El Chanetesh. For example, Beis Hillel says, since you are permitted to carry on Yom Tov, I've got my chicken lying, or my chopped liver, lying on the other side of Pico with Mrs. Cohen, and on Yom Tov morning I want to eat it. I go across and I ask her to take it out of her fridge. She takes it out of her fridge and I carry it. It's Tzerech Ochel Nefesh. I'm allowed to do it. Says Beis Hillel, therefore I'm allowed to carry the lulav to shul on Yom Tov also. Because we tell Shalola Tzerech, Hutra Nami Shalola Tzerech. Beis Shammai says no. So here we've got it clear that Beis Shammai says you are not allowed to do it. Beis Shammai doesn't accept the principle of Mitoch. So Beis Hillel accepts the principle of Mitoch. Have you got that clear? Beis Hillel accepts the principle of Mitoch. From where does Beis Hillel take it? They've got some kind of a Kabbalah. They've got a tradition, the Hillel has got a tradition that since it is permitted the Tzerech Ochel Nefesh, it's permitted Shalom the Tzerech Ochel Nefesh. Right.
Yes, the way to make it.
Just one moment, Philip.
But of course, there have to be some conditions here.
Well, that we're going to see the conditions, you're absolutely right. Now we're going to examine the conditions, you're absolutely right. What do you want to ask, David?
I was just going to say that it seems confusing. The way I'm straightening it out in my mind, I'd say what Hillel says, namely that if you're allowed to do it for one thing, then you can do it for anything else. It's simply that I'm thinking to myself, it's permitted. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do this.
Yes.
But the essence of it is it is.
Well, now we can say one of two things already, we can say. We can say that once it is permitted, you're permitted to cook. Then you're permitted to cook for anything. That's permitted. You're permitted to shech. You can make a beer also. Only one condition. What is the condition? No. Shove lechol nefesh. The one condition, it must be common to everybody. But yes, it's shove lechol nefesh. But if it's shove lechol nefesh, then it's all right. So you can do it if it's not, even not yourself. Now, one of the melochas is hotzo'or. Hotzo'or means carrying. Hotzo'or. So, am I allowed to carry the lulav on Yom Tov or not according to Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel says yes. I've got to find out the reasoning for the hotzo'or. We are going to take the case of lulav. The basis is Ochel Nefesh, everybody agrees it's in order. If I've got to get my chopped liver from Mrs. Cohen's fridge on the other side of Pico, I can carry it across. This is Hotzo'or, I'm carrying it, but I'm carrying it at Tzerech Ochel Nefesh. Because it's food, I'm going to eat it. Perfectly all right. Can I carry my lulav on Yom Tov? It's not Tzerech Ochel Nefesh. Beis Hillel says, yes, I can. And we are working only according to Beis Hillel. Because Beis Shammai says, you can't. Only Tzerech Ochel Nefesh, that's all. Beis Hillel says, the principle of Mitoche Hutra Letzerech Ochel Nefesh, Hutra Namichelo Letzerech Ochel Nefesh. Perhaps it's only lulav, because I need it for Yom Tov. I need it for Yom Tov. I've had to bench lulav. This is part of Sukkot. So that he says yes. That is that as far as he goes, or does he go a little bit further? Even a cotton. I can carry a cotton. What do I have to carry a cotton for? Brismilo. So I can carry a cotton for it, but in there it doesn't say so. I want you to know that in the Mishnah it doesn't say the cotton. All it says in the Mishnah is Beishama only Ainotim Lois a cotton, Velois Alula, Velois Sefer Torah. One is not allowed to carry a cotton. And Beishil it says it's permitted. It doesn't help us here. Not yet. But first of all, let us understand it with our own Seichel. Follow? What do you want to say, Saul?
It must come from another place, though, because it says it's specific. Lo es ha-cotton, es ha-cotton. It doesn't say lo cotton, velo, lulav, velo, sefer Torah. It says not this cotton, and not this lulav, and not this sefer Torah. That's a lashon of the
Mishnah. Well,
it sounds like it's talking about something they're both familiar
with. Velo es ha-lulav, velo es sefer Torah. It's not. It's not.
It's a cotton.
But we can say a lulav has got to do directly with yours. So that's the easiest of all. A sefer Torah, not so much with Yom-tah. What do we need it for? To lay in. We lay in on Yom-tah. But you can't say that it's an integral part of Yom-tah without that, if you haven't got the Yom-tah. Without the lulav in the esot, you haven't got your sefer. This, you've got to have this considered. But still you need it for Yom. Let us take the cotton, but let us take it lomulo in order to circumcise the cotton. In order to give the cotton a bris. That is what we carry him to bring him to chew everything, and to give him a bris. We are not doing it for Yom Tov. It's got nothing to do with Yom Tov. But it's a mitzvah. So we can carry, we are permitted to make the milah on Shabbos. So the question is, are we allowed to carry the child to the Moel? Or must the Moel come to the child? We say we are allowed to carry the child to the Moel on Yom. Now, so we see from that Mishnah, that it's permitted to carry something that is necessary. For Tzemet Ochel Nefesh, there's no question. For that, we've got the Din in the Torah. The question is, does it go beyond the Din in the Torah?
What keeps the moral from driving to do the person?
That's called Machshirim. That's not a matter. There are two reasons that I'm coming to that. That's called the Machshirim. Now, so we go beyond that and we apply the principle of mitoch, since it's permitted to do this malach of a tzorech nefesh, it's permitted to do it even if it's not the tzorech nefesh. But it's got to be the tzorech yontif. Or sefer Torah, it's not really yontif, but it's a mitzvah. To circumcise, to give the cotton a bris, it's got nothing to do with Yom Tov, but it's a mitzvah. So it seems that Beit Hillel would say for the purpose of a Yom Tov or a mitzvah, then it is permitted.
What?
That's as far as we could go. I mean, we can't go further than that. Unless we've got the right to go further than that. We've got to examine that. What do you want to say?
That reasoning really would not hold true, because you know on Shabbos for a bris it would not be permitted.
So
even though it's a mitzvah.
So
why then would we say for a mitzvah on Yom Tov, what would make a difference then just because it's a mitzvah on Yom Tov? Okay. So the reason
Tzor is permitted. So since it is permitted for Ochel Nefesh, it's permitted already not for Ochel Nefesh. The question is, how far do we go? Must it have a relationship with Yom Tov, or needn't it have a relationship with Yom Tov?
Well, what?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Because I can learn this Mishnah with you that has got no relationship with Yom Tov. I can say that the cotton, it doesn't say to give him a bris. It says, Shammah says you can't take out the cotton. Beit Hillel says you can. If a father wants to take a cotton, he can take him and carry him and carry him on Yom Tov. Or a mother wants to go to shul, she takes the cotton and she carries him on Yom Tov. I can say she can do that. Yeah, I could go further. I say if the father wants to take the child for a walk on Yom Tov, he can take it. Carry him. It doesn't say in the Mishnah. From the Mishnah itself, I can't tell.
But wouldn't the Sfora be, like you just said before, Otsar is the thing. Okay? Yes. The idea of carrying.
Yes.
You have a malacha now which has been permitted.
Yes.
So since somebody, I mean, I could see a sfora from Beis Hillel's side now. He said, what would be the underlying reason why you would permit Shalom Lazarev also? If somebody is going across town to get their food or whatever, and they're carrying it in a paper bag, then somebody sees it. So first of all, there can be a marasai that the person is carrying something. So they would think, you know, how do we know what he's carrying?
No, I'm coming to all that. I want you the principles. I've got to get used to the principles.
Okay.
Now look at your Rashi, your Tosfos, and just see what your Tosfos says. Just look at your Tosfos Mitoch. Mitoch Shehut L'Ritzorech says Tosfos Peirush. Peirush. L'Tzorech Ocher Nefesh. Since it is permitted for Tzorech Ocher Nefesh, Hutro Nami, it's permitted also Shelol L'Tzorech Nefesh. Also for not Tzorech Ocher Nefesh. Uvilvad, Philip, your point. Uvilvad. Accepting sheyehei tzorech hanoasayo, it's got to be for the need of the pleasure of the day. O tzorech kiyum mitzvoy b'yom tov, or it's got to be for the need of doing a mitzvah on yom tov. Kehahi, as that, the hotzoos koton lomulo, he puts in the word lomulo, which is not in the Mishnah. To carry a child to give him a bris, the sefer Torah likros bo, and to use a sefer Torah to read in it, the lulav lotzes bo and a lulav to bench, that is permitted to do, but it's got something to do with the yom tov. Avol shelo letzorech hayom klal lo, but if it's got nothing to do with the yom tov at all, it's not committed. For example, if a person, he wants to take stones, there are stones lying across the road, and he wants to take the stones from across the road, and he wants to bring them onto his property. Likes to have stones on his property. It's got nothing to do with Yom Tov at all. That he's not allowed to do. And if he does it, then he has transgressed the commandment. Lo ye ose for him kol melocho, that's this commandment, kol melocho lo ye ose for him, no manner of work shall be done of them, or kol meletet avodah lo tasu, if he carries stones. So what is the Tosfos say? He is circumscribing it. It can only apply two conditions. Hanoasayom or Tzorech mitzvah or for a mitzvah. But it's got to conform with those two conditions. Hanoasayom o mitzvah. Have you got that clear? At this stage, I'm going to give you another school of thought. This is Tosfos and a number of Rishonim. Rashi's got an altogether a different. Rashi doesn't do it here, but Rashi does it in Beitzo. Rashi says, "Vitoch shehutro letzorech, hutro nami shelo letzorech." You can carry a child even if it's not to give him a bris. You can take a sefer Torah. You can carry it even if it's not to read in shul. You just want to learn from it. You can also do it. But you can carry a child just to have the pleasure of walking with a child on Yom Tov. You can do it with the greatest of pleasure. You don't have to have it for a bris. Says Rashi, furthermore, according to Rashi, it will work out, I can even carry stones on Yom Tov. Rashi says it's prohibited for another reason. It's prohibited for another reason. Or is prohibited, midrabonon, rabonon says it's awesome. But from the law of the Torah, he says, once, hutr le tzorech, hutr nami shelo le tzorech. So we've got two distinct schools of thought. We've got Rashi in Beitzur, not Rashi here, Rashi here doesn't touch it, because the source of it isn't here. And Rashi says, once the malocha has been permitted, it's permitted right through. Now, just look at the reasoning for the two schools of thought. Rashi takes it as follows. Rashi says, Ach, accepting Asher Yeyochel Ophonim, any melocha that has to do with providing food, that melocha is permitted. Not, doesn't matter if it's Lechzerich Elchel Nefesh or not. That melocha is permitted, right out. The whole question is on the melocha. Only those melochas that have got nothing to do with food are prohibited. But a melocha that's got to do with food, that is permitted.
But that's all melochas, isn't it?
No. Doing my washing. Doing my washing on that's got nothing to do with food. I can't do my washing on Yom Kippur. It's got nothing to do with food. But any melocha that is permitted because it is done for food can be done even if it isn't for food. Hotzor carry is you can carry food to prepare on Yom Kippur, therefore it's permitted even if it's not for food. That says Rashi. Tosfos says no. Only if it's got to do with something with the Yom Kippur. If it hasn't got anything to do with the Yom Kippur, it's not permitted. But it's got to do with the Hanuas Nagir. Those are the two great schools of thought. What was that?
Abby? So it sounds like Rashi then sets up a class of malachos which are permitted. Where Tosfos is not as much looking at the class of malachos which would be permitted, but he's saying under certain circumstances this can be done.
No, I wouldn't like you to look at the exact way. Rashi says, once it says in the Torah that for food purpose it is permitted, what it means is any malocha that is permitted for food purposes, that malocha is permitted.
Right, that's
Rashi.
That's
Rashi. Tosfos says, if a malocha is permitted for food purposes, then it is only permitted if it's got to do what is food purposes for Yom Kippur. It's only permitted if it's directly connected with Yom Kippur. But if it's not directly connected, not with Yom Kippur. He says it's the Ochel Nefesh that is the principle that guides us. Rashi says it is that it's permitted to do. The malocha is permitted to be done. Therefore, that malocha is permitted. Stones would also be permitted to be carried. He said the only reason stones are not permitted, the Rabbonim said we don't permit it. Rabbonim made the issue. But the Torah didn't make the issue of stones. Those are the two schools of thought that you've got to know in connection with this. First of all, we've got Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Where Beis Shammai says, I don't accept the principle of Mitoch at all. And then you've got the school of Beis Hillel that says, Mitoch we do accept. So we go according to the school of Beis Hillel. In the school of Beis Hillel, we've got these two dividing schools. These are the two important schools. There are several, but these are the two important ones. Rashi says, it's outright permitted. The Malocha is permitted. Tosfos says, no. It's permitted on condition that it's got something to do with the day. We'll soon take it inside the Tosfos and you'll see how careful Tosfos is in these words. Right, any questions?
Is it appropriate to mention the driving again?
I'll come to that. Yes? Anything else?
Do both agree that they're all talking about a Dover HaShavah HaKol?
Oh, it must be. Dover HaShavah HaKol, there's no question. That has got to be. That the Gemara lays down. It's got to be Dover HaShavah HaKol.
What does that mean?
Now, there are a couple of things that I've got to draw your attention to, and that is, and that is why I was so careful how I translated with Mugmer. It says, Mitoch, when it came to Mugmer, it says, Mitoch Shehutro Habora Letzorach. I translated it, since it is permitted to use fire for Tzeret Ocha Nefesh. I avoided you saying, since it is permitted to make fire. Make fire you can't even if it's for Tzeret Ocha Nefesh. Because the principle is, if it is no lead or no light, we use both these words. Now, no lead or no light. This I'm not allowed to do in Yom Tov. To create something, that I'm not allowed to do in Yom Tov. You follow? Create, I'm not a creator of Yom Tov. That I can't do. I can't build on Yom Tov. Nobody will allow you to build on Yom Tov. It's commanded to do it through. I'm not allowed to create anything on Yom Tov. To create fire, I'm not allowed. I can use fire, but I can't create. Even if it is the Tzeret Ocha Nefesh. But Molid can't be. So Molid or Nolad. Molid is the active and Nolad is the passive and means the same thing. It can't be Molid and it can't be Nolad. That is not permitted on Yom Tov. Have you got the point clear?
Yeah.
Now, just it's therefore, to make sparks, to make fire, I'm not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. That is Molid. That's out of the question. But where there is a fire, I can use the fire. So what is very often done is, where the housewife has got a huge candle burning, and she takes this candle, she wants to turn on the gas. So she takes the taper, she lights the taper, she turns on the gas, and she can use the gas. She uses the fire. But she hasn't created the fire. That is the law of Moses. Now, there is another law. It says, Hu Levado, that in itself may be done, but not Machshirei Ocha Nefesh. Machshirei are the preparatory work for it is not allowed to be done. Shechita can be done. Salting of meat, soaking can be done. Salting can be done. Cooking can be done. All that can be done. Bread. You can bake the bread. You can knead the bread, the dough. You can mix the flour and the water and make the dough. But what you are not allowed to do is, you're not allowed to sow the seeds for the grain, for the grain. That's what you call it, grain. But you're not allowed to reap the seeds. You are not allowed to mill it. You are not allowed to sift it. That must be done before. So the question is, where does it stop and where does it end? Where do we say, till then it's permitted, now can become the mashkile? Why should making the dough, mixing the flour and the water be less machshirim than sifting the flour? One rule I'm giving you immediately. Yes?
Well, one reason strikes me is that you can't do the other things before.
Very good. That's exactly what it is. Although I can prepare the dough the day before, but the bread doesn't taste the same. I can do the shechita the day before, the meat isn't as fresh. So the guiding principle is, if it is something that I could have done the day before, and it wouldn't have made any difference to the taste of it, to the texture of it, to the taste of it, then that I am not allowed to do. That's machshire, preparatory actions, which I'm not allowed to do. That's machshire ocha nefesh, which I'm not allowed to do. Now, I've given you a lot of things here. Don't worry if you don't remember all of them. Don't worry. Because by the time I'm finished with you, if you know it all, you will remember all of it. Now, just let us work in the Tosfos a little bit. But you see those two schools of thought we've got. I'm not doing the Rashi because the Rashi isn't here, but I'm bringing your attention to it because you won't understand the Tosfos properly unless you know that there's another school of thought of which Rashi is the main exponent. That says, that means that melocha may be used indiscriminately. I can carry anything on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. I can carry anything. Once I can carry for food, I can even carry stones, says Rashi. Nothing to do with it all. The Chachomim didn't allow me to do that. But from a Torah, I can carry that also.
Does modern practice follow Tosfos or Rashi?
Follows Tosfos. Follows Tosfos, because there are lots of Yeshivim. It's not only, I'm only giving you the main exponents, you see, of these two schools. We follow Tosfos. We can follow, for example, I'm going to do part of the Shulchan Aruch also with you in a moment. Just to see what the Shulchan Aruch does with it. But there is the source of it. Have you got it? You want me to put the Mishnah of Beitzel on the board for you? Or isn't it necessary? Not necessary.
I just wondered if Beit Shammai said that you could only carry to eat, is that right?
Beit Shammai is only for the eat. You've done this Mishnah in Beitzel?
No.
I thought you lived in Beitzel.
I never learned in Beitzel.
Well, Mishnah, what are you doing?
We're doing Megillah
and Rosh Hashanah.
I just was curious. I was wondering if you were carrying an etrog to eat it, then rather than Beit Shammai would
we'll say yes,
okay,
that's fine.
But you couldn't shake it.
No, that's a few pieces. if you're going to do both things, then another problem comes up. See. All right. Now, just look how we're working here. Look at your Rashi. Mitoch shehutra letzorah says. The Tosfos. Mitoch shehutra letzorah says Tosfos. Peirush. The explanation is letzorah ofer nefesh, since it is permitted for the needs of consumption, human consumption. It is permitted even if it's not the Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. But a condition. It's got to be for the purpose of having Hanoah for the day. Oh, Tzorech Kiyu Mitzvah B'Yotah. Or for the purpose of a Mitzvah on Yotah. For example, I'm allowed to carry a child. I'm a father. That's my pleasure. On Yom Tov, I'm going walking. I want my child. If my child is left at home, he cries. His father is out the whole week, his father is out. And now he saw his father didn't go to work. He thought his father was going to be at home. And the child cries. And the father wants to go walking on Yom Tov a bit. And he's upset, the child says that he can carry the child. So is that Tzorech, is that Hanoah Sayom, or is that Kiyum Mitzvah? Hanoah Sayom. Pleasure of the day. That's a pleasure of the day to carry. To carry the child to give him a bris, that's Kiyum Mitzvah. So Tosfos says, as long as it fulfills either of those conditions, it is in order. It hasn't got to be a mitzvah that's specific for the day. That, because milah's got nothing to do with Yom Tov. Lulav has got to do with Yom Tov. But if it's any kind of mitzvah that I'm allowed to do, for example, if I've got a shear, I can carry my Gemara. I can carry my Gemara to the shear because I'm carrying for a mitzvah. So I'm allowed to carry my Gemara to a shir also.
You're allowed to carry the key to open up the door.
That we'll see. That we've got to go through. We'll see how far we can go.
According,
Larry, just one moment.
I understood there was some needs of the day. Now you're saying the pleasure of the day.
Hanoah means for the pleasure of the day. Hanoah. I must get a better word. for the joy of the day, yes. I'm getting annoyed today. Otsorechiu mitzvah b'yavdo. Kahai, as for example, yes, sir, so.
What I want to know is, what bothers me is, according to everybody concerned, the Bashami Basil, the Rashi and Tosis, why the need for these three examples? It would seem that two would be enough.
Well, I'm going to do that. That's why I wanted to know whether you wanted me to put the Mishnah on the board. If you put it in the Mishnah on the board, I would have done it.
No, I still don't want the three examples.
Well, we're getting some kind of idea. For example, the child is, look what he says now.
According to Tosfos, it will be permitted.
The child is for the
mission. But according to Tosfos, Tosfos says it purposely doesn't tell you for what the cotton is. So if, on the other hand, it would say that you can labula in order to circumcise him, in order to give him a priest, I say, yes, that's a mitzvah. But just for Anoah Sayyam, that he's not allowed to do. So it leaves it open. So Tosfos says it leaves it open in the Mishnah. It says, by Shammai Matirin, you can carry a child on Yom Tov. So he says, Tosfos says, whether it is for a bris, or whether it is because the father has joy taking the child with him for a walk on Yom Tov. Either reason is satisfactory, says Tosfos, and you can carry the child on Yom Tov. But there's got to be something. It's got to be either Hanoah Sayyom, or it's got to be a mitzvah. Yes.
You said Beit Shammai. I think you meant
Beit Hillel. I'm sorry, Beit Hillel. Of course.
Tosfos does say by the cotton that's talking about a bris.
Well, we soon know. You've got to be careful.
What did Beit Hillel say back there? I forgot. Was that for just Hanoah Sayyom?
Just as the Matiri.
Oh.
Beit Shammai, all it says in the Mishnah is,
Beit Shammai says just for...
Beit Shammai, Omrim, Ein Motzin, Lo Es HaKotan, Lo Es HaLula, Lo Es Sefer HaTorah, Rishus HaRabim, Uvaitilei Makiri, and Vaitilei permits it. That's all it says. That's all it says.
You don't understand the principle by which Beit Hillel operates.
We don't, we knows nothing so far. Until we begin to understand and we see from the Gemaras, we can see what it is. But now we've already got the sheet of Tosfos, the thesis of Tosfos.
We do understand Beit Shammai's principle. This is fine. Only by the
very simple. He doesn't take Mitokshu to Latzarechut Shalom. That's not. He says it's only permitted for Ochel Nefesh, and that is all. Beis Hillel introduces Mitokh.
Oh, I see.
That we've got. So
but it doesn't say what Hillel doesn't give any. It just says yes, that's all.
That's all we know. We've got to work all this out.
I see.
With the help of the Gemaras and with the help of the Rishonim.
So what we're talking about is how Rashi and the Tosfos both view Hillel.
That's right. How Rashi and Tosfos explain the Mishnah. Rashi explains the Mishnah. Means you can carry for anything. And Tosfos says you can carry, Hillel says you can carry as long as these two conditions are fulfilled. Either of them. It's either Hanoah Sayyom or it's Kiyum Mitzvah. Either of those. Now Tosfos will explain. Hotel Kiyum Mitzvah, Beyonce. Kahi. The Tzuas cotton lombulo, that you take a cotton out lombulo, that is for a mitzvah. Vaseich ver Teuron likrosbo, Velulov losesbo, these examples he gives to set, it can be. All examples he learns it, Tosfos learns it, all the examples in the Mishnah are for either. Either they can be. It's covering both. It says, all these three examples can be for the mitzvah hayom. Even cotton can be for the mitzvah hayom. You don't seem to understand what I'm saying. For the mitzvah of a yom. The mitzvah, for example, cotton, you can interpret that it's for the bris.
Yeah.
You can carry him for the bris.
For the
so it's for mitzvah, not for the yom. It's just for kiyum mitzvah.
Oh,
nothing
okay.
To do with the day.
Yes.
The sefer delikra, velul of losses, but avo shelo letzorech hayom klal. But if it's got nothing to do with the day at all, lo, then it's not permitted. For example, kamo, hotzuas avonim. He says that tzuras of voting is not permitted. The Michayev, he says, if he takes avonim out, he says, he's guilty.
What's
avonim? Stones. If he moves stones from the across the street, he moves it across the fairway. What do you call these things?
Well, freeway.
Freeway. Takes across the fairway, goes out the other side of the fairway, and brings the stones here on Yontif. He wants to have stones on Yontif. Well, that got nothing to do with Yontif. Got nothing to do with the pleasure of no meats for nothing. For that, says Tosfos, for that, you're guilty. You get punished for that. Rashi says, no. Telling is permitted on your death. For that, the Chachomim said, if it's got nothing to do with your death at all, you're not allowed to do it. But punish, you can't give him a punishment. That you can't give. From the Torah, it's permitted. That is the Shita of Rashi as opposed to Tosfos. But you will only understand, I'm sorry, the nuances in Tosfos, if you know that there is the other school of thought. I'm giving you only two distinct schools of thought, you see. Then you've got the two extremes. Rashi and Tosfos.
Yes. Wouldn't Rashi also answer the carrying of stones because it's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh?
No. That is not the reason. There is a suggestion because of Muktzah. The Rambam evidently takes it because of Muktzah. The Rambam is very much like the school of Rashi. But I don't want to deal with the Malb Rambam. The Rambam introduces another difficulty.
Rashi says you can carry stones.
Rashi says the Chachomim say you can't carry. But it's Rashi says the Chachomim say you can't carry. But Bin HaTorah you could carry. On this principle, Rashi says you could carry. So you can't give him the punishment that the Torah prescribes for it, you can't give it.
You say that the three examples in the Mishnah apply to
the mitzvah.
A mitzvah, performing a mitzvah or the pleasure of the day.
That's right.
How does lulav apply to the pleasure of the day?
Lulav doesn't apply to the pleasure, it applies only to the mitzvah.
Tosfos
goes out of his way to show that each of them can be a mitzvah for the day. For the particular, like a mitzvah for the day, you see? Can be a mitzvah for the day. But he says, even if it's for the hanor of the day, Tosfos is saying that this Mishnah applies, he does a mitzvah. It's got to do with mitzvah. But not that it's got to do with the day. I just want to explain something to you. Tosfos is dealing with two ideas. Hanor Sayom and the Kiyum Mitzvah. Hanor Sayom and Kiyum Mitzvah. Which would you say would be more appropriate? If we are going to circumscribe the principle of Mitoch Shehutro Letzorech Ochel Nefesh, Hutro Nami Shelo Letzorech Ochel Nefesh, if we are going to circumscribe it and to modify it, which would you say circumscribes it more? Hanor Sayom or mitzvah?
No, mitzvah.
Mitzvah.
I would say mitzvah. Why? Because I know the yom has got something to do with yom. It's got something to do with the day. It's something to do with the day.
Which extends the principle for us.
But bringing a child for the priest has got nothing to do with Sukkot or with Pesach. It's got nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with the day of the Yom Tov. But carrying the child for the bris has got nothing to do with Yom Tov. But I'm carrying my child because I don't want to leave my child crying at home. I'm just getting up, I'm putting on my hat, and the child is, Daddy, Daddy, don't go.
Sounds like my mother.
goodness you're talking about.
So I take him. I take him. It's got something to do with Yom Tov. It's my joy for Yom Tov. But the breeze has got nothing to do with Yom Tov. So Tosfos goes out of his way. He's worried. Don't come and tell me that this is only because of Yom Tov. See, this is it's Kiyum Mitzvah. And Kiyum Mitzvah is less circumscribing and less of a modification than a Noas Yom Tov. Sorry.
Exactly.
The reverse.
Right.
The reverse. So just look what he says. So he says, the rule of laws is that Avol, yes, so therefore he says, it can be, if it's Hanoah Sayyom, or says Tosfos, even if it's not for Hanoah Sayyom, it is only for Tzorech Kiyum Mitzvah B'Yom Tov. I'm explaining the Tosfos to you. And it's only for Tzorech Kiyum Mitzvah B'Yom Tov, it's only for a mitzvah. Kahido Tzuas Koton Lemulo. For example, if one takes out a cotton Lomulo to circumcise him. Says that the mitzvah, the Mishnah also includes, because the mitzvah doesn't say ho tzuas kotten la noas ayom. It just says you can carry a child. So he said, Tosfos is, I can interpret it. It means for a bris. The sefer Torah likros bo, and the sefer Torah doesn't mean that I want to learn on Yom Tov. I want to study it. It means likros bo, to read it in the Kriyas Torah. The lulav and the lulav is lotzes bo. But if it's got nothing to do with the Tzorech Hayom at all, Kamoho Tzuas Avonik. Carting stones. He says, the Mechayev. There's no question. That is Mechayev. There's another case where he would be Mechayev. For example, Mechayev is guilty. He's guilty. He's liable. He's liable. Give you another case. And it's surprising how many people don't know about this. A housewife says, it's the first day Yom Tov. She said, well, I'm all fixed up for the first day Yom Tov. I didn't expect that we were going to have guests for the second day Yom Tov. But it doesn't matter. I start straight away. So she starts. She cooks her fish for the second day Yom Tov. She cooks her meat for the second day Yom Tov already. They've had lunch. They came home from shul 11 o'clock. 11:30, sat down to lunch. 12:30. She says to the men folk, you go and lie down a little bit, go for a walk. What are you going to do? Says the housewife, I've got work to do. What work have you got to do?
Sorry.
We are getting guests tonight. We are getting guests tomorrow. Tonight, to what does that belong to? Thursday Yom Tov or second day Yom Tov?
Second
day Yom Tov. She says, I'm getting guests tonight and tomorrow. I've got to prepare. She starts with the bread and she bakes the bread and she does that. That is that the Tzorech Yom Tov, the day? Is that for the Tzorech of the day? Is that a mitzvah for the day? So that's wrong. For that she's guilty. That's chayiv. So look what the next piece of Tosfos says. Says Tosfos. Says Tosfos. The ho'ofer and he who bakes, or the ho'ofor and she who bakes, it can be either, mi yom tov lachol, from yom tov for after yom tov, for the second night, or for the next day, l'rav chizdo, according to Omar Loke, Rav Chisdo says that she actually gets the punishment. Now, you know there are various punishments. Let's go back a little bit now. There are various punishments. The worst punishment of all is Misas Beisdin. That is where a court of law gives a death penalty. Mises Bezdin is, for example, if one breaks Shabbos, the law is it's a death sentence. But the death sentence is only if there are two witnesses. And only if these two witnesses have warned the person that if you continue to do this, we are going to give evidence against you and you're going to get the death sentence. Or two other witnesses have got to give evidence that they were present, they saw two witnesses giving them
warning.
And the warning has got to be within 4 seconds of performing the deed. For example, if the witnesses say...
That's too anxious to give the death penalty.
But if more than 4 seconds, it's 5 seconds, he said 5 seconds ago, he said it, finished. What happens if the witnesses are asked, how long was it? And the one says, well, 4 seconds. The other one says, 5 seconds. What happens if the Dayonim, the 23 judges, one of them says to the witness, how many seconds was it before the time they... So I didn't look at my watch. About. So I can't tell you. What's the number? Goes up 3. What happens if he says 3 seconds and the judge says, perhaps it was 4.5 seconds? He says, perhaps.
Right.
Can't do anything. I mean, so you can see how difficult it is. Then why do you have a death sentence at all? You can never carry it out.
Because you've got to say what things are worth.
So, it's quite true. But you should know what it is. You should know what it is. How serious it is. That's one. Another thing you've got to know, and this I just have to explain to you. There is such a thing as doing something amazing. One does it purposely, knowingly. There is such a thing as doing something unwittingly, not knowingly. You know, one has to be very careful before one passes judgment over a person. The Chazon Ish, who was the custodian of the Torah in the sense in which I spoke until about 1955 when he died, he was until 1955. And that was a very, very difficult period for us because he was still from before the destruction. And in 19, when he was with the Chazon Ish, we had no question, we knew he was the custodian and nobody would move without him. There was a certain gentleman who used to live in Jerusalem in those days, his name was Ben Gurion, and he wanted to have a decision. He didn't go to the chief rabbi. He knew. He went to the Chazon Ish. He took a car and he went down to Bnei Brak and he put the questions to him. And the Chazon Ish said, are you asking me these questions academically, theoretically, or practically, with the idea of doing it? He said, because if it's theoretically, you don't have to come to me. I'm not here for that. He said, I came for a ruling from you. As long as she's angry, will you abide by the ruling? He said, yes, I abide by the ruling. And I will listen to you. Because then he gave him his decision. And immediately after he'd given decision, Ben Gurion said, it's got to be, I don't want anybody else present. He said, yes. Gave him his decision. And Ben Gurion walked out and he called his secretary and he says, write down what I'm saying. He wrote down exactly everything in the interview that took place so that it should be recorded. Because after 72 hours, each one understands it differently. If anybody ever wrongs anybody, don't wait more than 72 hours and speak to the person concerned. If you wait more than 7, that's a deed. Don't be any grudges. No grudges. If you wait more than 72 hours, the person who said it to you has got a difference, who said something about you or did something, has got altogether a different story. He's got altogether a different story. And if it works in reverse, you also have altogether a different story. You gave all four of these. You also have a different story. Not longer than 72 hours. That's the way the Gemara works. After 72 hours, it's bad. Anyway, that is the way these things work. Now, the Chazal said something very, very important, which unfortunately is forgotten. And people don't want to know these things. But he's written it down. And why don't people want to know? Because people don't like thinking with their brains. They like thinking with their blood. It's odd human beings. They like thinking with their blood. If a person doesn't observe the Torah, do you observe the Torah? He's an apikoris. What is an apikoris? No. He's a non-believer. If he keeps the Torah more than you keep it, he's a fanatic. But people are thinking with their blood, you see. People are thinking with their blood. Think with their blood. They don't think with their brains. Think with their blood. So you've got to be very, very careful. You've got to be careful because these are very important matters. It's more important, according to the Torah, what goes out of your mouth than what goes into your mouth. And the Chofetz Chaim said that things that go out of your mouth can be much worse than eating chazer, eating pork. Much worse. I'll be a loch according to the Torah. When you think of what it entails, and the Chazal Ish says, what do you do with people today? They don't keep Shabbos. People, not everybody keeps Shabbos. So what does it mean? He's an apikoris. He's a rosho. What is he? What category does he fall? He says, there is a person who doesn't keep Shabbos. And you know him. You are more to blame than him. Because you don't have the influence. If you would be as you were, you should be able to influence the person. Possibly by not even saying a word. Just sees you. The way you live, the way you conduct yourself, what you do. And you don't influence them. Something wrong with you. It is the law of Chayachter Chiyachas of the circle. You must know, you must be able to reprove your next one. You must be able to admonish him. He said, you know, says the Chazon Ish, the art is lost. The art is lost. That art of admonishing is lost. So we don't know how to do it anymore. So, we don't know how to do it anymore. That person is stamped as a lawbreaker only if he's been admonished and he doesn't, he rejects it. So you haven't got anybody to do the admonishing anymore. He said, I'm not up to it, said the Chazon Ish. That I know. As he said, what can you do? You take the blame on yourself. And thank you. You've got it to blame. So that is where we stand. Tosfos says that Christos said that if he or she bakes bread on Yom Tov for the next day, that person is guilty and must get the punishment. We don't paskin like that for quite a different reason. And now comes another principle, the principle of Hoil. Hoil. Very much like Mitoch, but on a different level. But this is a nice idea. We paskin, he brings only Rav Chisto. But the other school says, let us say she bakes that bread on the first day Yom Tov. She starts baking at 1 o'clock. At 4 o'clock the bread is baked. At 4:30 a guest comes in. Oh, come in, please be seated. What can I offer you? And the guest goes, and the housewife says, yes, I know what you're spilling. I'll give you some. It's still warm. What did you have for lunch? Meat. When did you have lunch? Oh, I finished lunch at 10 o'clock. Tell you what I'll give you. Butter. And with fresh legs. Newly baked warm bread with butter and fresh legs. You see what it's done? It saved her. It saved her. It's used for first gift. So we ask her, since that can happen, she gets no punishment. That is the principle of
hell.
That's the principle of hell. You can't possibly have absorbed all that we went through today. You can't have absorbed it all. But what I want you to have is some idea of how this whole thing works out, you see? And now we can, that is what Tosfos deals with. Do you want to go on with the Tosfos or do you want to go with the Gemara?
Tosfos, of course.
Rosh, Mark?
Speak up.
I'll stay with the majority.
Mark. Mark, you know what Henrik Ibsen said? He said, who are the majority? The clever people or the fools? One doesn't go according to the majority.
But is that appropriate?
Not in this circle, of course. But anyway, what will you do, Mark? Which would you rather? You would, all right. Because to people whom it makes no difference, I don't learn Tosfos. I only learn Tosfos with people who can't go on living if they don't learn Tosfos. That's the only person with whom I'm prepared to learn Tosfos.